Thanks, guys. Very nice. Had a superhero up here that I think I saw a yawn in one of them. He's been out superheroing all night, evidently, huh? But that was great. Good job, kids. This morning we're going to, first of all, it's good to be back. Been gone for a while, but it's good to be back and see all these smiling, wonderful faces here. We're going to conclude the series that I've been working through on love and how we love and what we're supposed to do with the love that God gives us. And today we're going to come to the place where we realize that if we've taken all, I know of all of you have taken your bulletins home with the outlines and gone over them again and kept them, right? Yeah, if you go home and if you go home and go through all those and look at all of the things that we had for points in those, we'll realize that it's a job loving, isn't it? It exhausts us, it costs us, it does all kinds of things. It's not easy to love. It's something that works on us, our whole body. So we're going to talk about that today. If you are a person who sees a lot of people in a day, the more people you see, the harder it is to love them, right? Because you get tired. You get worn out. If you're in the nursing field, how about a doctor? Doctors have a hard time. They see people all the time. It's hard to love them because they come in and they say, "This is what's wrong with me, doc." Doctor says, "Why don't you let me figure that out?" Or like Carla and Julie, how many mouths can you look into in a day's time? Huh? It just wears you out, doesn't it? But you're still supposed to love those people. A lawyer? Yeah, well, that's hard too. Salesmen? Managers? People who are in charge of people? Who manage the people that they work for them and work under them and different things? It's difficult to keep the right attitude, isn't it? Well, that's what we've been talking about over all these weeks that we've been talking about this. But today we're going to look at what to do when we start running out of gas, when we start running out of the love that we should have for each other. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, "Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Now, we're not talking about a human love here. Human love runs dry. We're talking about a godly love, a love that only we can receive through God, only love that's demonstrated to us by God. So, what is the secret that we need to have to do the loving that we're supposed to do? How can we not run dry on the love that we're supposed to have? Well, I've called this the habit of the loving heart. That's what we're supposed to have, as a loving heart. Because we are a combination of physical, emotional, and spiritual, all in one, right here. So we wear out in all of those areas. We're going to talk about that. Develop, first of all, habits that refresh you physically. We've got to take care of the physical. You think, well, what does physical have to do with loving, being able to understand the condition of a strong impact of relationships that we have? The physical has a lot to do with that, because we see that we have warning signs every once in a while when you're always feeling fatigued. Anybody ever struggle with that? Always feeling fatigued. Any of you, I don't know, maybe it's just me, any of you wake up more tired in the morning than you do when you go to bed? Yeah. We're physically draining during the day. We're seeing a lot of people, and we're meeting people, and we're meeting the needs that they have. And we get to the place where I just don't know if I can see another person again, or if I can do that anymore. So we find ourselves being always fatigued. And then the other warning sign that we have is that we're too tired to care. Someone comes and says, you know, I need to talk to you about that. I don't care. I just don't want to talk to another person. I just don't want to have to deal with anything anymore. How many of you work a full day meeting people, taking care of their needs, meeting everything that's happening in your life? You get home and your child comes up to you and says, hey, Dad, let me tell you about what happened to me today. Leave me alone, boy. I just want to read my paper and relax for a little bit. Have you ever had that feeling? You've seen it happen. Maybe you've had it happen to you when you were a child. That's the reason we need to keep ourselves physically filled up. That tank, that physical tank needs to be filled up because we need to be able to have the energy to listen. Not just to hear, but to listen. So what happens to your relationship when your physical energy runs down? It kind of suffers, doesn't it? You're more cranky. Anybody ever get cranky? Yeah. I never do. I'm always up. You're more defensive. You always feel like defending yourself. I feel this way because I'm this way. You know, because look at what I had to do. I had to work hard today. I had to see all these people and I had to meet all of their needs. I had to wait on them. I had to do all of this stuff. That's why I'm so cranky today. Well, I didn't have to do that. We think that, don't we? Huh? Well, I did have to do that too. Anybody ever become critical because you're so tired? Yeah. We become critical, cranky, and we just don't want to deal with this thing. So some of the habits that we find here that God wants us to do to refresh the physical part of our body is we need, and this sounds like my doctor when I go see him, you need rest, you need the right diet, and then there's number three. Exercise. Anybody doctor ever ask him, are you getting any exercise? Mine does all the time. Yeah, I get up and walk from my recliner to the kitchen and my kitchen back to the recliner. That's exercise, isn't it? But we need these things. These are the three things that God says we need to refill that empty tank of our physical being. Rest, first of all. Psalm 127:2 from Living Bible says, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. God wants you to get your proper rest. Rest is important. You know how important? It is so important to God that he put it in the Ten Commandments, didn't he? What happened on the seventh day? He rested. What does he want us to do? What did he give us? A Sabbath. What is a Sabbath? It's a time that we rest. It's not a time that we go home and we do the work that we didn't get done. You know, I got to clean the garage. I got to wash the car. I've got to do this. I've got to do that because I worked all week. That's not a Sabbath. That's not taking your Sabbath time and working on your Sabbath. God's saying you need time to rest, to get the proper rest that your body needs. You need proper diet. What does that mean? Psalm 119:73. You made my body, Lord. Now give me the sense to heed your laws. Well, this is where I struggle because I like Butterfinger pie. We just tried that this week. I mean, Kathy on Facebook, she puts all kinds of nice, gooey stuff on there. When I see one from Kathy on there, I just have to flip by real quick because I want to try every one of them. That's not the balanced diet that God wants us to have. But, you know, we can indulge once in a while, can't we? Well, as long as we keep that diet the way it's supposed to be. It's not anything new. We know what we need to do. We just need to do it. Whatever works for each of us, we need to do it, to have that proper diet, to keep ourselves physically where we're supposed to be so we're not run down and feel all blah, that type of stuff. So we have the energy that we need, have that proper diet along with the rest. So this is sounding okay. So then the third thing, regular exercise. Regular exercise. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, honor the Lord with your body. How do you do that? By sitting in your recliner and walking to the kitchen, getting a snack and going back to your recliner? No, that's not how we do it. It's keeping up with doing what we're supposed to do. Get the exercise that you need to get. Whatever works for you, that's exercise. Back in the Bible days, they didn't need to exercise. Why? Because they walked everywhere they went. They worked hard, physical labor. What's it turned into in our world? We want to go someplace? Well, I'll take the car. You want to take the car or the truck? You know, which vehicle do you want to go in this time? Instead of maybe if it's just 3-4 blocks away, walk. You know, if I want to get something, I need something at the store or something, and the Maverick might have it, I'm only about 3 or 4 blocks away. Do I ever walk to the Maverick? No. Get in the car. It's quick. I got to get there and get back because it's hot outside, and I want to get back to the air conditioning. Right? That's the way we think. We need to get the proper exercise that we should get. I found a quote by Jackie Gleason. Who remembers who Jackie Gleason was? Jackie Gleason says, whenever I get the urge to exercise, I lay down until it goes away. And I think that's what a lot of us will do. We'll go, I'm going to go ride my bike. You know how long it's been since I've ridden my bike? Well, it's been about 1.5 years now. Yeah, almost 2 years. But it's a nice bike. It really would be good exercise. Get these three things to fill up the tank of exercise or physical, the physical tank that runs out and makes it hard for us to love. Rest, balanced diet, and regular exercise. Whatever works for you, whatever works for me, we need to decide that and just do it. What product does that? Oh, that's Nike, isn't it? Just do it. Second thing that we need to do, we need to have habits that recharge us emotionally. When your emotional tank is empty, it's unable to keep a loving attitude. You're emotionally upset about something. Something's going on. The tank's going to go empty if we don't do the things that God wants us to do. So back to the physical. When you get physically tired, upset, you need something, what do? You go to sleep. Your eyes get heavy, you go to sleep. When you're hungry, your stomach growls, you eat. So you've got the signs that tell you that you need to refill your tank. But the warning signs here for emotional is the fact that sometimes you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed by everything that's going on in your life. Every little thing is going on. And pretty soon they start, the little difficulties turn into big problems because we emotionally can't handle them. We feel inadequate. We can't do what we're supposed to do. We get a short fuse. What happens when that fuse shortens up? Then that starts affecting the relationships we have because we start blowing up. The fuse runs down, boom, there it goes, all over again. And then we start dreaming about, I just wish I had an island in the Pacific with this beautiful white sand that I could go out to and just calm down. And you start dreaming about that. Emotionally, you're drying up. You're running out of energy. You don't have the emotional stamina that you need to have because these are the things that are constantly on your mind. So you've got to do something about that. David had that problem. He said in Psalm 55:6, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away. Anybody ever say that? Boy, if I could just leave, it would be so much better. Emotionally, we're having a hard time. In order for us to do that, we've got to take care of the emotional problems that we have. Some of the things that God gives us, some of the proper things to do to refill our emotional stamina is, first of all, we need solitude. You know what solitude is? Get off all by yourself. Don't deal with people for that little while. You don't need that because emotionally you can't handle that. And if you try to do that when you're emotionally dry, out of gas, you're going to affect that relationship in a negative way rather than in a positive way. So get off by yourself. Jesus did that a lot. He walked out of crowds, went off by himself to get emotionally set back on track where he was supposed to be. Mark 6:31 says, "So many people were coming and going. Jesus said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" You need some time of solitude, some time alone. Your emotions are like a battery. Batteries run down. They need to be recharged, need to be charged up. And our emotions are the same way. If our emotions are all frazzled all the time, we can't do what we're supposed to do in the proper way. So when you come home and you've been doing this all day long and you just have absolutely nothing left for those that you love the most, where you should have, if you have absolutely nothing left that you can do to deal with what's going on there, emotionally, you're dry. You're out of gas. You need to get off by yourself and take care of your emotions. Get your emotions back on path. Now, I'm not saying use this as an excuse. You come home, you go, "I'm sorry, guys. I'm emotionally dry, out of gas. I'm going to go in the other room. Don't bother me until tomorrow morning." That's not what I'm saying. Don't use that as an excuse. But one conflict in a day can ruin the day, can't it? Yeah, because it's on your mind, and it's just digging at your emotions all the time. If you get off and you get alone, what do you end up doing? You finally say, "God, would you help me get through this?" Finally, after we've already tried to deal with it, and the emotions are on the edge, and they're frayed, and we're ready to just blow a fuse. "God, would you help me with this?" Will he? Yeah, absolutely. Then you can come out of that solitude and you can meet the needs of your family, which need your needs, need your help, need your love more than anybody else that you run into during the day. The second way that you can recharge emotionally, recreation. You think, "Oh, recreation, that's rest." No, it's not rest. How many rest when you're recreating? You don't. You get out and you get into a 3-on-3 basketball game. Is that resting? I don't think so. It's exhausting in some ways, but it's taking your mind off of all of these things that's rattling your emotions. You're concentrating on this and you're using energy, but it's restoring your emotional state. You're getting back into that. Whatever works for you, whether it's hobbies, sports, games, putting a puzzle together, whatever it might be, whatever your recreation is that you find and you enjoy, that's going to get your emotions back on track. You get through doing that and you go, "Ah, man, I'm tired, a little tired physically, but I think I can go take out care of the problems that I need to take care of now. Because I've gotten all that pent-up anger or frustration or whatever comes along with emotional problems. I've gotten it out through that recreation that I've gone into." You need to experiment. You need to find out what it is and do it. Use that to refresh the emotions. Matthew 11:19 from the Phillips translation says, "Jesus came enjoying life." Jesus came into this world enjoying life. He came into his ministry enjoying life. He was probably the most intensive, well, not probably, he was the most intensive ministry-oriented person that ever walked this earth. And when you're intensely into your ministry, your emotions are completely into that. So you've got to restore them. You've got to get them back. Real ministry costs, and it exhausts. If we're meeting the needs of other people, if we're trying to help other people, if we're loving other people, it's going to cost us something, and it's going to exhaust the emotions that we have in our bodies. Now, the third way that we refresh our emotions is laughter. I love to laugh. Don't you love to laugh? When you laugh, endorphins are developed in your brain, and you feel better. You feel great, and everything is good. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, is it not? Don't you feel better when you're laughing and enjoying life than you do when you're walking around? Now, I don't feel good when I walk around. I convince myself that I don't feel good. Fix a lot of ice cream for everybody, AJ. Bye. Keep us refreshed. Make them laugh. Okay, good job. Laugh. I've always thought, now, you know, laughing, you know, that's a little bit of a waste of time. But according to this, it's not, you know. Our family laughs a lot, usually at me, because they like to play board games. I am absolutely terrible at board games. In fact, I was, when my grandson was younger, we were playing a video game, and I am absolutely terrible at video games. I guess you call them video games, or things that you play with the little doobers like this. And I was doing that with him, and he just, how old was he at that time? He was probably 10, 12 years old, something like that. I couldn't beat him for anything. I couldn't even keep up with him. We're playing a four-wheeler game. You know, have to drive down through here like this, doing like that, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I was really good. I would wreck that guy so bad, the guy would fly off the four-wheeler, hit the back of the game, and fall down. Then my grandson said, I have never seen anybody do that before. He said, Grandpa, you are terrible at this. And he just rolled over and laughed at me. So anything I can do to help people laugh, you know, I just love to do that. And this is really good for me to understand. They're not laughing at me because I'm stupid and I don't know what I'm doing. They're laughing at me because they need those endorphins. They need to get their tank filled back up, right? Okay, well, that's what we need to do. We need to rebuild our emotional state, get it back to the way it's supposed to be. Excuse me. And so do those three things, and the emotions will refill. All right, the third thing to have a lasting love, then, is we need to have refreshing, renewing times spiritually. We need to renew our spiritual standing. What did it say? Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It never fails. It never gives up. Love is from God. God's love never gives up. Man's love will dry out, but God's love will never give up. Warning signs that you're having problems spiritually. Nothing seems to be worth the effort. What's the use? What's the issue? Life seems futile. Why am I even doing that? Why is this even taking place? And then probably the one that we do the most is we blame God for the problems that we bring upon ourselves. God, why did you allow this to happen? What's going on? I don't understand, God. Why are you doing this? Why am I in so much trouble? Why don't I feel good? Why don't I? Why? All this kind of stuff. We sound like our kids, don't we, when we're talking to God? Why, God? And we're blaming him, basically, for the things that are going on in our lives. We're not the only ones that did it. David did it. You look in the Bible, Moses, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Abraham, all of them, and the list goes on and on and on. We see where they have problems. They brought problems on themselves, and they say, well, God, why'd you allow this to happen? Well, because you chose to do that, and he's not going to force your hand. 1 Timothy 4:8 from the Phillips again. Take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. 3 spiritual habits that we need to bring into our lives. A daily quiet time. This is ultimately important to refreshing our spiritual status. A quiet time with God. Getting alone with God. Let him communicate to you through your heart, through your mind, through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, however he communicates with you, and you communicate back with him through prayer. Get alone with him. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is the reason we never lose heart. Our body does suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives fresh strength. Outwardly, our body wears out. Inwardly, God's going to refresh us if we take the time to spend time with him alone, a quiet time with him. Well, I just don't have time for that. Yes, we do. You've got time. Get in your car and just sit in your car for 10 minutes and talk with God. Leave the house just a little bit early and just sit there in your car and talk with God. Have some communication. Go in the other room. Go away from the family. Go away from your wife or your husband or whoever and get in a quiet time. If you work in an office, shut your door. Have some quiet time with God. If you're driving to work, have some quiet time with God. You can do it then, too. Well, I can't get down on my knees and close my eyes and pray. No, you can't. But you're there, and God's there with you. He's sitting there right with you. Have some quiet time with God. Whatever it takes, spend time every day. Start out with 10 minutes. Before you know it, you're going to be up to 30, 45 minutes, hour, whatever. You're going, whoa, I missed that appointment. That's okay, you were with God. You know, you can reschedule that appointment. Spend some quiet time with God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on God. He can handle it. He can handle it. For he cares for you. What a great God we serve. The second spiritual habit that we need to have in our lives is a small group. We have a large group here today. Our emotional needs cannot be met here today. Our individual emotional needs cannot be met here today. I mean, it helps. We come together, and we love each other, and we care for each other, and we hug each other, and we're lifted up and things like that. But we have some deep emotional needs that we might need to share with someone that's closer to us, someone we have built a relationship with, someone that we have given the right to hold us accountable. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm sorry. Psalms 59:16. I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love. For you are my refuge in the time of trouble. Hebrews 10:25. Let us encourage one another daily. Let us encourage one another daily as we come together as a small group. Not 20 or 30 people, 8 or 10 people maybe, 4 to 6 people maybe. Whatever it is, you have like beliefs, you have like problems, you have relationships with these people. Come together and pray together, love each other, care for each other, meet the needs of each other. A small group coming together and sharing, meeting the needs emotionally and spiritually. The third spiritual habit is worship. Specifically, singing. How many of you can bring yourself back up by singing praises to God? Yeah. When you get in your car, put in that CD, that Christian CD, praise songs, and sing along with it. What happens to your attitude? What happens to the way you feel about the day? You can't be upset and sing praises to God, can you? Even if you want to. I am angry today. I'm going to have to go confront this guy, and I'm going to have this confrontation all day long, and blah, 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 and you put in that, and you forget all about it. May still be out there, but you have refreshed yourself spiritually on the way to do that. Again, Psalm 59:16, I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my refuge in a time of trouble. God is our refuge. But we need to refresh ourselves in worship. When we come together on Sunday mornings and we have our music time, it's not just the warm-up act. The music is just not songs. These are songs of praise and worship, and we should come into it with that heart attitude. Songs of praise and worship, and bring ourselves into a worshipful attitude. Songs are just as important as any other part of this service on Sunday morning. It's worship time. It's praise time. Getting ourselves in the attitude, the right attitude, to come into a prayer time, to come into a message time, whatever it might be. It's very important in our lives to bring us back into spiritual standings with God, with each other. Again, spend time in your car with that music. Really helps. Ephesians 3:18. May you be able to feel and understand and experience God's love for yourself. That's how we feel and experience God's love, through worship and praise of God. What we receive back from that as we offer it up to Him. The love that we feel and the experience and the uplifting that we have in our lives. Now, my guess this morning is that there are probably some of you out there, maybe all of you, that are running on empty right now. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. To the point of where you're going, what can I do? How can I get over this? I just can't get myself to go. I just can't deal with all of this that I have to deal with. I'm physically gone. I'm emotionally drained. Spiritually, I just, because of these other two things are gone, I don't have the energy to do anything. Why even bother? You didn't get that way overnight, and you're not going to be restored overnight. You need to start practicing these little helps, these habits of the heart that we need to do to get ourselves back on track where we're supposed to be. Because we get into our human selves so much that we allow ourselves to get this way, and we think we're supposed to feel this way all the time. It's not true. God can help us through that slump that we're going through and the recovery that we need. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me when you are tired, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go to him. Why is he the last resort most of the time when we have a problem, when we see ourselves down and out, when we don't want to deal with anything else. I can handle this one. You know, God, this isn't a big one. You just go ahead and take care of Joe Blow over here because he's in a lot worse shape than I am. Now, he wants to help us with every little problem that we have. Give it all to him. He'll give us soul rest. He'll give us spiritual rest. He'll give us emotional rest. All of the different kinds of rest that we need, he'll give it. It's there. Now, we've been talking about rest and replenishing and doing all these different things, taking care of yourself. That's absolutely necessary. But once you get that accomplished, you don't sit back in the back row and say, I feel so much better. Now I don't have to do anything. Not true. God says, I'm going to help you, but I want you to go out and I want you to minister. I want you on the front lines for me. When you get out there and you've done all of this and taken care of everything God wants you to take care of, and you're feeling not rested, emotionally stressed, spiritually stressed, back off again and replenish yourself. God's going to help you in all those areas. Don't think that once you get replenished, you can just take it easy, because he wants you out there serving. He wants you out there reaching out to people. He wants you out there loving those people around you, even if you see them as unlovely. He says, love them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a hard one. Get back out there and be on the front lines again. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. It can outlast anything. It never gives up. It never fails. God's love. Not human love, but God's love. That's the strength that we have. If you don't have God's love in your life, we give you the opportunity every week to give your life to him and receive that love. He loves you now. But boy, what power and greatness we have when God is there with us, and that's the person we go to. And we share love with him, and he shows his love through you and me. If you don't have him in your life, we invite you to make that decision today. If you need to a church family, boy, I can't think of a better one. And if you just need to talk to someone, there are people here that will be happy to visit with you. Whatever your decision might be, we invite you to make that decision now as we sing. Let's be standing.